This morning I want to read you a psalm, and Bobby Ray is coming. I got your name right that time, Bobby Ray. Psalm 100 is a very familiar psalm, and I just want to sing it to you as we start just moving from Thanksgiving into Christmas here. It says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing," Bobby Ray. Amen. "Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." So this morning we want to praise God. We want to shout joyfully to the Lord, and the psalmist gives us the reason. First of all, the Lord is good. Second of all, His loving kindness is everlasting. And third of all, He is just as faithful to me as He was to my mama and my grandparents. Just as faithful to you as He has been to your grandparents, to your parents, and to Christians from generations past. So this morning, as Bobby Ray comes, let's give him a big welcome.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you this morning. It's always good to be with you. And my wife picked out a song, and I think it's very appropriate. If you would turn in your hymnal, please, to 375. I think we all need to sing together this morning. And 375, and the White the Baptist hymnal. And when you find that, if you'll stand, please, we'll sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." We'll do the first, second, and fourth verses. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, to trust Him more. Now I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Now, while you're still standing, I've sung that song for years. And on the chorus, instead of saying Him, I say, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You, how I've proved You o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust You more." Can we sing that chorus like that this morning?
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You, how I proved You o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious.
Let me sing this old song for you. I've been singing now for several years, and I still love singing it. But through this troubles and our trials and all that this world throws at us, I'm glad that the Lord has put a song in my heart. I'm glad there's joy in my heart. And that sure gets us through, because when I have the joy, we have the joy of the Lord, He's our strength. It's our strength to trust Him and to have faith in Him. But until then, I'm going to keep on singing. My heart can sing when I pause to remember heartache here is but a stepping stone, but along the trail that's winding always upward, this troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. Now this weary world, with all its toils and struggles, may take its toll of misery and strife. But the soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home.
I love that old song, "This Weary World." I can't talk today. "Weary world with all its toils and struggles may take its toll of misery and strife. But the soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart's going to keep on singing. And with joy, I'm going to keep going on working for the Lord this morning." So that's where I'm at today, and I hope you're that way too. And it's always good to be with you. And I tell you, when you go over the prayer list, and you know, and I know people that's not feeling well, and they're at home. I understand that. But when you're able and you can come to church, and maybe there's something been going on in your life, and you come to church and you know people loves you, you're in this fellowship and people love you, and they're praying for you, that's a good place to be. That makes you feel better right there, doesn't it? So
it's nothing like going to church. I tell people, even if I wasn't singing, I'm going to be in church because I miss it when I'm not there. This is an old song, if I can remember how it goes. See, if I remember how to play it. Just suppose God had searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy. His bitter cup, although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels, for I'm these hands pull the nails that torment me. That's an old Rusty Goodman song, and this don't get much better than that. Where would we be if it wasn't for Jesus? Who would we call on if it wasn't for Jesus? And folks that don't know Jesus, I declare I just don't know how they get by, but I love trusting the Lord, and I'm still learning to trust the Lord. There's times, you know, my faith gets weak. There's times things are thrown at us that, you know, you have to stop and take a deep breath and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I have the Lord and I have His Word, and I'm not gonna stand around in fear and worry. I'm gonna trust the Lord. So that's where we gotta be. I've said all that, now I've lost my place while I'm gonna sing. Sometimes it seems God's a million miles away, too busy for a creature such as I. Then I think of how He sees each sparrow fall. Call on Him and find that He Kid. Here's one right here open. I'm going to do it and see what time I got. I got another couple of songs there. Wes. Wes was running late this morning, and it cost me two songs. I told Kathy, I was going to tell him. I said, he texted me, and I said, well, he's already 4 minutes late. That's one song right there I'm not going to be able to do. I'm just picking. I tell you what, just too much goes on in life, ain't it, you know? And it's easy to overlook and forget and all that kind of stuff. So see if I can get my timing right on in. Oh, I have days I lose the fight. Try my best, but I just don't get it right. Well, I talk a talk that I don't walk, and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held, when I just can't see past myself. Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Yeah, there's no denying I have changed, but I've been changed from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess I still need help to see the way you see.
Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Oh, to be the beggar on the street, I love to be your hands and feet, freely give what I received, Lord, help me be. Put you first above all else, love my neighbor as myself, in the moments no one sees, Lord, help me be. A little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. A little more like living everything I preach, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. A little more like Jesus, a little less like me.
I love that Zach Williams song. I venture into some of the contemporary artist songs. I can't do it like they do. And if they heard me doing it, and they'll say, what in the world have you done to my song? But anyway, I'm glad y'all don't know who he is and hadn't heard his version maybe. So, anyway, I'll do one more for you this morning. And I have a neighbor, she loves gospel music, and she'll come to me once in a while and she'll say, have you heard this particular song? And she'll just rattle off all the words. She just gets all the words in her head. And she's amazing. So this one says, start with well done. That's what I want to hear, don't you? More than great riches, more than acclaim, more than meeting strangers who already know my name, more than respect from my closest peers, there's a voice and a statement that I long to hear. Only two words will fulfill me when I see his face, for there's eternal meaning in this one little phrase. When this life is over and the next one's begun, I want it to start with well. You see, I haven't always followed his whisper inside. There were days I battled and I still lost the fight. But I lay regret where his precious blood fell, and with loving forgiveness he said, now go finish well. Only two words will fulfill me when I see his face, for there's eternal meaning in this one little phrase. When this life is over and the next one's begun, the next
heart with well done.
Amen. Thank you, Bobby Ray. Yep, Bobby Ray, I got it right that time. Thank you all so much for being here. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 15, I know you're probably thinking this is an odd passage kind of to start off and kick off the Christmas year, but we're preaching through Exodus, and I want us to see something here that's very important as we're getting started this morning. So if you're there, say amen. I just want to read you two verses of context, 30 and 31 of chapter 14, and read the first six verses and pray, and we'll just jump in here this morning. And Bobby Ray, we thank you for lifting us up in music this morning, and this message is about singing praise to the Lord. In verse 30, it says, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians." In other words, he delivered them through the Red Sea. All the Egyptians, their armies, their soldiers, their chariots, their horses, they were destroyed that was chasing after them. It says, "And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore." When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared, or the people revered, the people honored the Lord. And they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, or they sang this song, and the text here it says, and saying, in other words, this is not a song that they sung just one time. This is a song that Moses wrote. This is a song that they would teach the generations to come to sing. So they sung this song to the Lord, singing, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea, and the choiceness of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone." Look down with me, if you will, to verse 20. Miriam, that's Moses' sister, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dancing, or tambourines. And Miriam answered them, saying, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider has hurled into the sea." This morning, I want you to realize that we need to sing praise to the Lord, for he alone is our salvation. He's become our salvation. As we look at this, all the people of Israel begin to sing. The men followed Moses. The women followed Miriam. They taught them this song, and they begin to sing praises to the Lord. Our Lord is exalted. Our Lord is like no other God. Because there's no other God like him, he is worthy of our praise. And we should sing praise to him continually. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we gather this morning, as we just hear, Thanksgiving is finished. Probably still got some leftovers. But Lord, I pray that we won't forget to continually thank you for the blessings, the resources, the salvation that we have in you and in you alone. That, Lord, as we enter into this time of Christmas and everybody's getting ready for Christmas, that we would pay attention to the songs we sing, the TV shows we watch, the fellowship we enjoy, and that all we do, we would sing praise to our Lord, for you alone have become our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want us to think about praising the Lord. I want us to think about what the Lord has done for us. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued a presidential proclamation calling for a national day of thanksgiving. And here is part of the text. I won't read you the whole text, just a piece of it. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings of fateful years and helpful skies. To these bounties which we so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of such extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensitive to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, have nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving, a praise to our beneficial Father who dwelleth in the heavens." You know, amid the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln recognized that God controlled our history. God controlled our individual history. God controlled the history of our nation. And he declared the last Thursday of November to be a day of thanksgiving, a day of praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in heaven. My question this morning, has God given you something or done something for you that you should be thankful for? You know, I was listening last Wednesday and Thursday and on some of the newscasts, the world's gone woke, and they was talking about how Thanksgiving was a secular holiday. It was never intended to be a thankful day to God. Well, I tell you, I can't help it that the world has gone woke. But if we're going to fix a woke world, the church is going to have to wake up. The church is going to have to start standing up and praising God for who he is. The first Thanksgiving, no matter what professors say, the first Thanksgiving was because the pilgrims, many of them died on the way over here, and many of them died that first tough year. And they gave thanks to Almighty God. And we need to give thanks to Almighty God. Giving thanks to God through a song is nothing new. Moses and the children of Israel were delivered from Pharaoh's army. They was delivered from the bondage of slavery first, and then through the Red Sea, they was delivered from death into life. And here, they began to sing a song. And as Bobby Ray was singing about Rusty Goodwin a while ago, you know, some songs just stick with us. Have you ever wondered why some songs stick with us so much? Like Amazing Grace. You know, I always think about that second verse in Amazing Grace. We all know the first one. The second verse says, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears first relieved. By the grace of God, I realized how bad I was. By the grace of God, I realized how separated from God I was. By the grace of God, I learned to fear God. And by the grace of God, I realized I couldn't help myself, that only God could through Jesus Christ." Have you ever thought about that? What grace is? Do you know why that song lasts and lasts? Because the words have theology in them. The words tell us more about the knowledge of God. We learn something about God. Think about how great thou art. You know, growing up in a Baptist church, I don't know, I was probably I guess I was about 30 years old because I got saved, and I was reading that song one morning because I was doing something for Sunday school, and I realized in the Baptist church, I don't know about y'all's, but I grew up singing the first, second, last verse. Did y'all do that? Did y'all know the prettiest verse in How Great Thou Art? The prettiest verse in there is the third verse. When I think God his son not sparing, send him to bleed and die for me, I scarcely could take it in. You know why those songs last? Theology. A portable theology. And we got all kinds of new contemporary songs, In Christ Alone. You know, I think about that song every time I hear those words. No scheme of man, no power of hell can ever snatch me from his hand. That's John chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. In the Old Testament, this is the first song that is recorded. It says, Moses and the men of Israel sung this new song to the Lord, singing, and then it gives us this song. It gives us this song for the next 20 verses. But let me show you something about the power of this song. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, as John is taken up into heaven and he has this vision of heaven and he's seeing what heaven's like, verse 3 says that he saw them sing the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses and the song of Jesus, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. This song is singing from the beginning to the end of the Bible right here. And as we see this, we see that we've got a lot that we should sing about. We should sing praise to the Lord. First of all, we should sing praise about the Lord because he's become our salvation. Look what Moses and him say here. As we look at this, it says that Moses and the men, they sing to the Lord. Why? For he is highly exalted. Their songs that they're singing is lifting him up above all the other gods of Egypt, all the false gods. His name, he's been exalted. That means he's been lifted up. He's been highly praised. There's been great things said about him. They are glorifying him. Because of God's glory, because of who God is, they are singing about him. They're singing about how he delivered them from death. The horse and its rider has been hurled into the sea. God hurled their enemy into the sea. It says here that the Lord is my strength and my song. When was the last time you told someone how God strengthened you, how God helped you? I know two people in here, and I'm not picking on y'all, that had migraine headaches, and both of them's here this morning because of the power of God. I haven't ever had a migraine, but everybody that I know that has talks like they're so hard on them that they really can't go outside. They can't go in the light. And God heals that. Miss Joyce's heart rate is gone from, I'm kind of like her now. The doctor said not to worry about it till it got to 49, but it ain't much difference between 50 and 49 when it comes to your heart rate. Right, Miss Joyce? But the Lord has raised her heart rate, and she's here this morning. How about Miss Mary Lois? She's breathing this morning. Miss Ruby has done cast off that sling this morning. Have you thought about that? What God has done in our life, how God is our strength? He says here, he is our strength. Why? Do you remember what was going on with the Israelites when they looked back and they saw Pharaoh's army coming chasing after them? They went into panic mode. Then they went into criticism mode. Then they went into, I'm going to go back to where I come from mode. And they told Moses, Moses, why'd you bring us out here? Wasn't there any graveyards in Egypt? I mean, couldn't you just have buried us there? You brought us out here, and now you're going to get us killed. And then Moses said something very important to him. He said, the Lord will fight for you while you're silent. In other words, be quiet. The Lord will fight for you. But then God said something to Moses. God said, Moses, why are you crying to me? Now you say, well, Moses wasn't crying to the Lord. He was trying to take up for the Lord. Right here at the end of chapter 14, we see something. It says that the people believed in God, and they believed also in his servant Moses. Moses was a mediator between God and the people. God chose Moses to deliver the people. When Moses identified with these people, why? Because he was an Israelite. When he was standing between God and the Israelites was complaining, guess what? God grouped him in with them. Moses, why are you crying? In other words, Moses, why are you letting your people cry out to me? Now let's fast forward. This is the greatest event in the Old Testament about salvation till we get to the New Testament, to the cross of Christ. Moses tells the Israelites in chapter 18, verse 15 and following of Deuteronomy, that after he passes, that God will raise up from them a greater prophet than him, a greater mediator than him. And the New Testament tells us that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as we're getting ready for Christmas, Jesus Christ come to this earth, fully God and fully man. He was baptized to show that he identified with us, and Jesus stood in for us. Jesus took our punishment from God for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, he was raised to show that God accepted his sacrifice in our place. As we think about the strength, and we think about this song, and we understand that God put it in this Bible, one of the reasons that God put it here, and so we would keep singing it, was so that it would convince us and the congregation that the Lord is worthy of our praise, and that his glory should motivate us to continually sing praise to him. Here they're singing and they say, he is our salvation. In other words, the Lord has saved us. He is my God and I will praise him. There's a personal relationship there. He's not only my God, he's the God of my father. Over here, little father, it says that he is faithful from generation to generation. When he is faithful, as he's been faithful to our ancestors, he'll be faithful to him. And he says here, I will exalt him. In Revelation chapter 5, we done sing in 15 that they sing this song. In chapter 5, verse 9, when John is up into heaven, it says they sang a new song. Listen to this. Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. You have made them be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign with you on the earth. Here is, as God gives us this song to sing, he wants to convince us that he is worthy to be praised, and he wants to motivate us to sing praise to him and praise about him. This morning, I want you to think about singing praise as you're going into Christmas about God. Let other people hear when you say, the Lord is a warrior. He has fought for me. The Lord is his name. Let somebody know how God has delivered you from something, how God has helped you through something. Let somebody know how you have prayed and prayed and you didn't think it was going to make it and you didn't know what was coming next, and then God miraculously delivered you all of a sudden. Have you ever been down there praying and you just kind of think, really? I mean, we got to be honest. We in church, right? Y'all know you can tell the truth in church. And you've been praying and you're like, Lord, is this even worth me keep praying? I've prayed and prayed and prayed. Am I doing something wrong? Am I not praying right? Are you not going to interact? What is going to go on? And you keep praying and you keep praying. And then all of a sudden, a peace comes over you. You still don't know how the situation is going to resolve itself, but all of a sudden you just get a calm. That's when the Lord has stepped in and touched you. That's when the Lord has showed you his strength. That's when the Lord shows you that he's a warrior. That's when the Lord shows you that he is fighting for you. Remember, he told Moses, be still, be quiet, be silent. I'll fight for you. See, we need to share this with other people. We need to sing about God. As we go into Christmas time, we need to be singing praises about God. We need just to break forth in celebration. Several years ago on YouTube, it got a lot of hits when all those people come together in that mall and one by one they started singing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. How many saw that? I mean, that's what happens when you start telling people about God. People get excited. That's why that spread so much, and people love to hear about God because there's no other God like him. Here they're singing about how Pharaoh's chariots and his army were cast into the sea. In chapter 14, Pharaoh's men said, look, God is fighting for them. We don't stand a chance. And they tried to leave, but they didn't get away. They'd gone too far. Here we need to tell people how God has delivered us, how God is our salvation. We need to tell people how our life was before Christ saved us, how our life was when Christ saved us, and how our life is today. And we not only need to sing about God, and I'm going to come back to that with a little application in a minute, but also I want you to say, I will sing, say it, to my Lord, because he is majestic. That means glorious. That means dignity. That means greater than all. He is majestic in both power and holiness. Hey, it's nobody as powerful as my God. And there's nobody as holy as my God. And my God is so holy that he is set apart from anything that has sin, resembles sin, anything that's stained, blemished, broke, anything, he is set apart from that, but in his great mercy, in his great grace, in his great loving kindness, he sent his son to die in my place, in your place, so that we could enjoy a relationship with him. We need to sing about this. Look what they start singing. In verse 6, they singing to God. See, when we start singing songs like Bobby Ray had us sing together. So we get up and we start singing together about God, right? Have you ever noticed that moment when you're singing and all of a sudden you start singing to God? You start thinking about how great God is. You start thinking about how these words are true about God. You start getting lifted up into the throne room of worship. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God exalting us and bringing it. It says, your right hand, oh Lord, is majestic in power. Hey, we was helpless. It was nothing we could do. We was bound in slavery, and you set us free. Hey, it was nothing we could do. We was bound in sin, and Jesus Christ set us free. They said, even though we had been freed, we had all the possessions of Egypt, we was heading out, we was still facing death, and death and our enemy was chasing us, but you redeemed us from death. That's what Christ did. Christ redeemed us from death. With an outstretched, powerful hand, he said, you shattered the enemies. How many of y'all have got an enemy, whether it's a spiritual enemy, a real enemy, or whatever, and you believe that God will take care of that enemy? Our worst enemy is sin and death, and Jesus has already took care of sin and death. If Jesus died to save me, I'm pretty sure Jesus is going to get me all the way to heaven. What about y'all? That's what we need to sing about. We need to sing about his right hand. That means his strength, his power. It's just a way of us understanding all through the Old Testament. It talks about God with an outstretched hand delivering somebody. God reaching down and grabbing you. I've told this over and over, but I know the day I got saved because I know the hand of God grabbed me and pulled me out of the life I had and placed me in a new life with him. And that's what we need to share with people. That God is still in the heart-changing business. He had a plan. His plan here was to deliver them so that we would see what God can do to a people that revere him and sing praises. They go on to say that in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrew those who rose up against us. and against you. Verse 7, and you sent forth your burning anger, and it consumes them like chaff. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. When was the last time you was praying for God to help you out of a bind, and you could just imagine that God looking down and saying, he belongs to me, she belongs to me, and by the blast of his nostrils, it blows your enemies away from you. That's the picture that Moses is singing about right here. His God is so great that nothing stands between him and the salvation or the redemption of his people. And Moses and the people go on to tell about how they was delivered and how the enemy had taunted them in verse 9. The enemy had, even though they was following God, even though they was going to church, even though they was saying their prayers, even though they was trying to lead their children to do right at school and teach their children the ways of the God, that people was still coming against them and persecuting them and talking about them. And Moses said, you know, our enemy said they was going to get us with the sword, but Lord, you got them with the Red Sea. You covered over them. We watched them as they washed up on the seashore. You delivered us from our enemies. You blew your wind and it covered them. And they sank like lead to the mighty waters. You know, in the end, after the Battle of Armageddon, and at the end, after Satan is released and he comes back, and some people, after the end of the 1,000 years, follow after him, it says that Jesus cast him into the lake of fire. And he sank. This here is the picture of your enemies. If you're God, if you're singing and praising God, and the higher he gets, have you ever thought about this? The lower your enemies get, they begin to sink. When we come to church, you know what happens sometimes, why we don't really get to sing and worship God and why we don't get excited? We already made up our mind before we get here we ain't going to like something. Or we've already made up our mind that there's something going on in our life that we got to fix for the next hour. Pretty sure it can wait. If we ain't got it fixed all week long, you ain't going to fix it from 10 to 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And we get to concentrating on our problem down here, and we're not looking up there. The more we sing praise to God, the higher we lift God, the farther we're getting from our problems down here. And I'm not making light of problems. I'm not making light of health issues, but I'm just telling you that you can sing praise to God no matter what's going on. This song lasted from right here all the way through the Bible to sing how great God is. And to tell him, when was the last time you just said, Lord, thank you for being God. Thank you for letting me know you. Thank you for being my God. Thank you for being the God of my mother, my father, my grandparents that taught me about you. Thank you, God, and let me teach my grandkids and my great-grandkids about you. Let me teach the kid down the street about you. Lord, you're so great, I just want to sing praise to your name. I just want to let everybody know that my faith is in Christ alone. Here is they're singing, listen, verse 11. And we can find this over in Psalm 86, Psalm 89, and sprinkled parts of this song is sprinkled all through the Psalms and other parts of the Bible. But listen to what it says right here. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Guess who's like my God? Nobody. Guess who's like your God? Nobody. Guess who's like the God of the Bible? Nobody. Who is like you? You are majestic in holiness. Let me tell you what, anything you trust in beside God, anything you trust in beside Father, Son, Holy Spirit, anything you trust in beside Jesus Christ will let you down. There's no other God. Chapter 12, verse 12. God said that when he struck the Egyptians, it was to strike their gods too, so that everyone would know there's only one God. And that's the God of the Bible. And here, in verse 11, it says that there's none like you. You're awesome in praise, and you work in wonders. When was the last time God done something in your life that you knew it was God, and you didn't take time just to stop and tell somebody? You know, I love to drive. I drove a truck for many a mile, big truck and little truck. Another day, I had my dogs in the back, and they was going at it about something, and I looked back, and luckily nothing was coming, but I crossed the center line. And you know, I've always heard about people looking and doing this and crossing the center line, but I can't ever remember doing that. Because I took my eye off of what I was doing. And right then, you know what I thought? Lord, thank you, because I could have killed somebody. You say, well, no, I thought you was a good driver. I want two good drivers on the wrong side of the road. The little things that God saves us from. The blessings that we have. We should tell somebody how God has worked a wonder in your life. My grandson, they sent pictures of him bad cuts. And his mom was upset about the cuts. I don't blame her. I understand. But you know how many ATV accidents end up with brain damage or something worse? He's hurt. But guess what? It could have been a lot worse. Can you thank God for that? Here, we not only need to sing about God, we need to sing our praise to God. We need to focus on Him. We need to make it a point as these next 4 weeks going up to Christmas, as we get ready during the week and we invite people to church and we come, we need to be getting ready to sing praise, to worship God, and let other people know what He's done. Whatever's going on in your life this morning, we see here that they're praising God and they're telling they how great He is, and they say, Lord, even the people where You fixing to take us into the promised land, they've heard what You've done to the Egyptians. They're trembling because we're on the way. When was the last time you was going into a difficult situation and you thought to yourself, because God is with me, they're going to tremble when I get there? You know, I've had people call me and want me to go to the hospital and speak with people about salvation, and they don't know how the people will take it. They don't know if they want to hear it. And you go, and you don't know what to expect when you get there. It could be either way. I really hadn't ever had but two or three times that somebody just didn't want no part of the gospel or didn't want to preach. I had one. I did have one situation right after I come to this church. They run me out of the hospital. They did. But, you know, I wondered if I prayed enough before I got there. Because if we pray and ask God for the Holy Spirit to be there when we go to share, and we don't know what to say, but we're just going to use His word and share with them the best we can, everything gets quiet. I had a friend that had done something to me, and I thought I'd forgave him, but evidently, if you've forgiven somebody, when somebody brings up their name, you don't tell them what he's done about to you, or you'd already be forgave him. Does that make sense? And I dealt with this a long time. And then somebody called me, actually my wife, and told me that he was in the hospital. And they didn't think he was going to make it. I should go see him. And I'm thinking, Lord, this must be serious if my wife wants me to go see him, because he really done me wrong. And I went to see him, and I didn't think he would live. I really didn't. And I was praying for him and over him. And when I got done, do you know that people in that ICU from them other rooms had stepped there to hear what I was praying? Lord, forgive me for not forgiving him. Because if I'd have been a better witness, I'd know for sure if he's saved, if he's leaving here tonight. But Lord, if he's not saved, please let him live. Please let me see his salvation. 2 years later, here's God's grace. I baptized him. 4 years later, I talked to him this morning. He's still sober. That's because my God is great, and he's worthy of our praise. And I'll close with this. Moses says that the people will tremble when they see us coming because you're with us. But he also says that you are great in holiness, you're majestic in power because you redeemed us. He's not only looking at the past. He's not only looking at the present. But he says, you will bring us in to your holy dwelling that we may dwell with you. Here's our praise. God saved us so we could live with him. Here, eventually, the Israelites will end up in Jerusalem. But guess what? Eventually, we're going to end up in heaven. God saved us so that we can live with him day by day. My question is, do you sing praise to God for the life you have with him today so you can enjoy him wherever you go? As we come into Christmas, there's going to be a lot of Hallmark movies. There's going to be a lot of Christmas songs. There's going to be a lot of cards and a lot of things that pass around. I want you to ask you to do this. When you're watching them movies that kind of give you the feel good, ask if they're painting a true picture about the God of the Bible. When you hear Christmas songs, are they about a holiday or are they about a Savior? You know, Moses and them singing says, and our dwelling will be with him. And they go on to sing about his loving kindness. You know what true love, the love of Christmas is? God sending his son to die in our place. Because true love gives us what we need, not what we want. We're going to get busy through Christmas, and we're going to want to do a lot of things. But my question is, what do we need more than walking closer with God and singing praise to his name? Let us pray. Kind Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray as we enter into this time that we would just sing praise and let everyone know that the Lord, our God, he reigns forever and ever. He's reigning over our hearts now. Even if the rest of the world doesn't celebrate the birth of Christ, that Lord, we can. We can come into your sanctuary that you've established here, Lord, and that we can be in your presence and we can sing praise to you. And Lord, we can thank you that you've purchased us from the power of sin and death. And Lord, you've transferred us into the light of the kingdom of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray that we'll sing, that we'll exalt you, that we'll let others know that we're going to praise you because you've become our salvation. You are our warrior who fights for us, and you're our deliverer. Lord, we thank you. If anyone is here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here and you might have been through a lot of Christmases and you just really didn't ever get the Christmas spirit, I just ask you this. Are you living the life that God wants you to? Or are you still trying to live life your way? If you're trying to live life your way, salvation is this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm not living a life that you created me to live. I know I'm not living my life the way you want me to. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I believe Jesus came to this earth. I believe Jesus lived the life that I should have without sin. Yet he died in my place. You buried him, and 3 days later, you raised him, that I could know that I am forgiven. Please forgive me. Lord, I want this to be a blessed Christmas, a time that I spend not just with family, but with you, Lord. Let this Christmas be a Christmas that I learn more about you, and Lord, help me sing praise to you. If you've prayed that prayer this morning, Talk to me after the service, or let someone else know you've asked Jesus to forgive you. Salvation is not something that you say a prayer and then you wait, you get to heaven and joy. Salvation begins the moment you ask God to forgive you. You start living with God. Christ starts living in you through the Holy Spirit. And you become a new creature. You start having new values. You have new desires. God starts molding you into the image of His Son so He can use you to sing praises in everything you say and do. Kind Father, we thank You this Christmas that, Lord, we can serve You by praising You. Lord, as we sing, may we sing praise to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, what a word. I'm always so thankful to hear what the Lord lays on Wes's heart. And I was thinking 4 or 5 songs to sing just to go along with your sermon. I'll just do one.
Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? They were still singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, but it says they sung a new song. You know, we'll take things from this earth into heaven that we know about God, but God is eternal, and for all of eternity we'll be learning something new, and every morning we'll have a new song. I'm going to ask Pastor Estes if he'd close us in prayer.